What's up, ego hackers, and welcome to my next true crime episode, where we're going to be discussing the murderer, Jodi Arians, an INTJ woman. And yeah, reminds me of two particular INTJ women and women in my life, actually, that I have encountered for sure. But who knows what her octogram is? We'll definitely figure it out. I suspect maybe SDUF. Who knows? But we're definitely going to find out. But a little bit of background. This is an INTJ with Introvert Intuition Hero. She got attached to some dude, basically her ex, who is an SI user, motivational speaker. Looks like he's an ENTP, as near as I can tell. And based on that, she ended up having a sexual relationship with him, but then he put her into sex-only category, according to his polygynous male sexual strategy, and then basically removed her from his life, moved away, and then she moved to an apartment just near him, etc., and then stalked him until eventually he ended up with some other woman, and she murdered him for it, basically, is in general the basis of this particular story. So, but yeah, there we go. So we're gonna start this basically as her interrogation begins, and we get to enjoy ourselves some ludicrous situations. But yeah, let's enjoy the crazy. Okay, looking at her body type, definitely from a Kibbe body type perspective, she's a dramatic classic, as near as I can tell, which is typical of extroverted sensing, inferior and a part of the Wayfarer. So, from a visual typing perspective. All right, yeah, can't get yourself comfortable to save your life, huh? All right, so let's see here. All right, let's see when someone actually shows up. This is about, okay, so 15 seconds. There we go. In comes the detective.
Can you
hire
someone?
No, just give me a
can I get you, just to have a seat here?
Are you from Arizona? I wonder what the significance of that is.
In the next moment, Jodi will hear Detective Flores approaching the room.
Okay, so Detective Flores.
She will then abruptly place her head on the table to make it appear as if she's sleeping.
I mean, little does she know she's being recorded. I mean, what the hell?
She will now notice the detective has instead walked past the room and then revert back to her regular sitting position. For whatever reason, Jodi wants to appear as if she's in a far calmer state than she actually is. She wants the detective to believe that she's relaxed enough to...
Okay, how you come off to other people? Extroverted sensing, right? Extroverted thinking, trying to get people to believe certain things? Okay.
Doze off, when she is in fact extremely alert and anticipating his arrival. She places her head back on the table to feign a placid state once more. And you'll notice her left shoulder hovers in what looks...
It's all about practice, right? INTJs, they love them some practice.
Like a very uncomfortable...
You gotta get prepared. You gotta get prepared before you... Especially when you're about to lie.
...will position for just over a minute. She then hears the external door open, at which point she takes a deep breath and then fully rests onto the table.
Can I get those off you? You remember me?
Of course I do.
Okay, you remember me. Of course I do. I'm like, okay, this is an INTJ we're talking about, and I'm just like, what? Where's the whole, like, I need a lawyer, plead the fifth thing? I mean, think about the high level of hubris that the TI critic has within this woman to believe that she can actually, like, convince this detective of anything.
I traveled all the way up here to come talk to you.
Okay, so yeah, this is a guy that she had talked to on the phone previously.
Because...
Okay, so based on my initial impression of him, seems very ESFJ. So this would be a natural pair.
I've been working on Travis's case ever since it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I know exactly when it happened, when he was killed. I know a lot of details. And just recently we found quite a bit of evidence. And I'll discuss that with you. The main thing that I'm looking for though is answers on why certain things happened, why they went so far, and also to get your statements.
Okay.
She's been brought to a police station in handcuffs and now just told her arrest is concerning the death of her ex-lover, an innocent person sitting in her position.
Yeah, but notice how she like is laser focused now. Anti-hero is out, basically.
Would want immediate clarification as to what exactly is going on. Jody doesn't inquire further, just gently accepts to cooperate after being given a very vague, yet highly accusive clarification of the situation.
A lot of details on this case that haven't been...
Maybe. I mean, I'm not entirely sure the narrator is correct there. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you have to understand there's a lot of bias when it comes to these people assuming, like, oh, if you don't act like an SJ or an affiliative person, then there's something wrong. This is an example of psychological racism or psychological prejudice on the part of the narrator.
Released to the public and not even to Travis's family. And those details are known only by us and the person who did it. Okay, and that's one of the reasons I'm here. Because I believe that you know some of these details.
Okay.
And I think you can help us.
I would love to help you in any way.
Okay, I would love to help you in any way possible. A little Heart Temple Passion there, a little FI child.
If I can.
Okay.
Any way I can and I.
Because we're here at the police department, the sheriff's department here in, was it Siskiyou County?
We do not know what her octogram is, but she's very direct responding so far.
Okay. And you're considered under arrest or detained. You're not free to go. And I'm a police officer. I have to read you your rights. Okay. I'm sure you've heard them on TV. I have to read them off this little card here, but they're pretty much the same. And I'll explain them to you as we go, okay? And, if there's a question that you don't want to answer, you don't feel comfortable, you can say no, you can elaborate as much as...
You can do this, you can do that, or you can elaborate any child, because I'm an ESFJ investigator.
If you want, it's completely up to you, it's at your speed.
Mm.
I don't want to pressure
is
you.
Is this recorded at all, or should we?
I don't know if there's a recording or something.
I don't know if these are voice recorders, I noticed them.
Oh, look at that expert intuition paranoia.
They have video, audio, or batteries, or what?
I don't think they're on.
Hindsight allows us to recognize this is simply an attempt to appear innocent. She seems to think that if she appears confident enough to recommend the use of an outdated voice recorder, that it will seem as though she has nothing to hide in the eyes of the detective. But it's just bizarre. If the detective wasn't already certain of Jody's guilt, he would most certainly become...
You always gotta assume it's recorded because they have to cover their asses. I mean, why do you think police officers are, like, wearing body cams? Like, why do TI critics continue to think that they're smarter than everyone else? I just, can someone just post a Batman slap gif at this point? Because this is ridiculous.
Suspicious at this moment.
Yeah, let's just make you more suspicious, Effie critic. My God.
It's okay. Yeah, I haven't touched those or anything, but...
Yeah, I haven't touched those or anything. Yeah, because he wasn't even there, okay? He was at his home office dealing with this crap. You were so paranoid.
Jody's mind would be racing here, yet she desperately wants her exterior self to appear calm. She's so focused on having this nonchalant disposition. She's in a stage, getting position, which really...
They're not on, so...
Yeah, this narrator is basically worthless.
What I want to do is just get to the bottom of it. Everybody wants to know, okay? And You know, so I'm going to ask you some questions. You can voluntarily answer them if you want. Okay, mm-hmm. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's yes. Fine.
I'm in danger. Like, you talk to a lawyer and you plead the fifth over and over and over. You don't say anything. Oh, but it's just all about how you look, okay?
There was some question about you being...
a stalker.
Well, let's start with this. What have you been up to since Travis's death? Well, what have you been doing?
Well, I've been working. Mm-hmm. I haven't been really working in Prepaid Legal. There's not a whole lot here in this.
What I want to know is how she got the money to get that place that was two blocks away from Travis's house. That's what I want to know. Because, like, these network marketing things are just BS.
Marketplace, which is...
It's kind of small here.
It's small here, and really that could be seen as an opportunity rather than a hindrance, because that just means the market isn't...
Oh, my God. This is the typical introverted feeling, optimistic delusion.
Is untapped in a larger way.
Even though it's like, it's ENTP shadow being like, ooh, I'm the best liar ever. I could pull the world over everyone else's eyes, you know, because I sound like Andy Andrea, you know, blah, blah, blah. Even with all my fake followers and my fake businesses, even though I'm just actually like this person who takes advantage of people.
So I could have if I wanted to, but I'm kind of like a deer in the headlights when it comes to Prepaid Legal. I just have a fear of just approaching.
Yeah, because you have performance anxiety, extroverted sensing, inferior. Come on.
People.
You'll come to notice that Jody will go off on these unrelated tangents anytime she has the slightest chance to do so. It's a recurring theme in interrogations for...
Okay, the thing is, though, is that other sides of her mind are all informative, and she's cognitive transitioning to be able to do that. And right now, she's cognitive transitioned into her ENTP shadow.
When the suspect is facing serious charges. And the common theory is that it's an attempt at gaining a momentary escape from what is likely the most terrifying moment of their life. Going into detail of their new nudges her away from the theme he made in his memory.
Dear Travis, kind of letter.
Okay, the narrator just needs to stop. He is making too many assumptions.
And so I took it down because...
More personal?
Yeah, some of it was details that were more personal. Not too personal, nothing inappropriate. Just, I just felt funny. I think because I'm a photographer, I tend to communicate more of the pictures, so I posted a ton of pictures.
Oh my God, that's like word for word what Andy told me. And Andy came off just as psycho as this woman.
That I have of him. And I have a ton more that I just can't access right now. And videos and things that I know his family would want, but...
She then...
Aren't you guys detecting a little bit of externalized flattery,
Explains how it's hard to talk about Travis's death with the guy she's now dating.
And we've been talking a lot, and we try not to talk about that, because it's kind of like, ugh. And plus, Travis is my ex-boyfriend, but at the same time, he's my friend, so...
Oh, look at that. Extroverted sensing inferior, caring about boundaries that are actually fake.
While I'm mourning my friend, how do you talk to your new potential, possible, maybe, person that you might start dating?
She is not trying to establish dominance in the subject. She's trying to increase her credibility. That is actually her intention. But good question for that.
About your friend, even though he was your ex-boyfriend, so it's kind of a gray area.
The detective knows she'll happily trail off until the morning comes, so he cuts her off and locks her into the situation at hand.
And I've talked to a lot of people, and everybody's...
I talk to a lot of people, introverted sensing.
Pointing the finger at you.
Everyone's pointing the finger at you, extroverted feeling. These are their value judgments.
You know, everybody is saying, I don't understand.
Okay, this is extroverted thinking demon now, and extroverted sensing critic. Everyone else is saying, and then extroverted thinking demon is going to be tearing down their reputation, basically. Oh, the natural pair, it's coming out right now.
And what happened to Travis? I don't know who killed him. But you need to look at Jody.
Yeah, you need to look at Jody, because, like, I mean, even to my closest friends, like, I have, like, a list of people, and it's like, yeah, here's the list of people that are most likely to end my life. So if I, like, turn up dead, because I would never commit suicide and never believe that, look at these people.
And sometimes this.
Odd how two of those people on that list happen to be INTJ women, very similar to this woman.
Simplest answers are the correct ones.
One of the most fascinating parts of this interrogation is how long the detective allows Jody to cling on to Hope. For the first 45 minutes, she will be terrified, yet still believe there's a chance she will be going home at the end of it.
Still believe, F.I.
The detective will hint at her suspicions and culpability in a gradual manner of someone's cruel, which is not enough to salvation.
And that's one of the reasons I started looking at you a little bit closer. And over the last...
I started looking at you a little bit closer. ESFJ, SE critic.
This month or so, I've gotten into Travis's life, talked to all his friends, his family. I got a really good understanding of who he is now. And I got a very good understanding of your relationship with him. Obviously, you weren't boyfriend and girlfriend anymore, but you were still having a sexual relationship, which...
Does his family know about that?
Oh, extroverted thinking is back. Went right back in her ego.
Just curious.
No, his family doesn't know anything. Yeah.
I'm interested in protecting his, how he's remembered as well. And
just for the purpose of...
Okay, she went into ESFP subconscious to make it look like she was like hella innocent there. And, oh, I only have good intentions. You know how women always like use these excuses to defend themselves. Oh, I have good intentions. It doesn't matter what I do, but I have good intentions.
Integrated context. At Jody's trial, she would label Travis a sexual deviant, a domestic abuser, and a pedophile.
He truly had feelings for you. And for some reason,
funny. I actually was labeled the same thing recently by an INTJ woman. Lol, 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 lol.
Felt that the relationship between you and him was somewhat unhealthy, but he couldn't stop it. And I assume that's probably maybe the same way you felt about him, or
it's
maybe you didn't
Okay, he's assuming, so T.I. inferior.
Understand why he didn't believe it was healthy.
No, I didn't think it was healthy either, spiritually at least, and probably emotionally. But mostly spiritually, and I think that kind of, once you have something that's not healthy spiritually, it filters through all aspects of your life.
Her dialogue alters from spirituality to her work history, and then to her finances.
I wasn't doing well. I missed my family. I moved away shortly after high school, and I come back to visit, but I realize over the years I've missed out on a lot of things with my little brother and sister.
All right, yeah, let's just blame Travis.
Missed out on just stuff.
Blame Travis, you murderous bitch.
Their karate or their baseball or cheerleading or...
Yeah.
The detective nudges her back to the subject of Travis once more. He asks if the sexual element combined...
Yeah, it's a good point you're bringing up narcissism because, like, this is an example of narcissistic personality disorder.
...and with his religion was the reason the relationship didn't work. Jody then takes it upon herself to recount her sex life history and simultaneously preach about her...
Where I was intimate with a few people. And it's kind of silly, but I used to always joke that regardless of what the Bible says, and yes, I'm Christian, I just live my life by the Ten Commandments, and those are my rules. Da, 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 da. You know, thou shalt not this or that, but it doesn't say thou shalt not fornicate. So I just used to joke about that. We did pray about it. I remember we knelt by his bed once, and surprisingly, he suggested it. Normally, you know, I would suggest that we pray before we go on a trip.
Oh my gosh, like, lady, fornication is not a sin if you are not a virgin, okay? And you also do not belong to another man. My goodness.
Or before we eat, if we're alone.
It was kind of unusual for him, huh?
Yeah, because he was very resistant to prayer. He's like, so I'd say, will you say a prayer? He's like, why don't you say a prayer? Why don't you say a prayer? So we'd go back and forth. Jody, will you say a prayer?
Oh, she's a little unhappy at the lack of masculine leadership.
Say a prayer? And I said, sure, and try.
She's unhappy that she was placed in her masculine instead of her feminine.
I was like...
The detective endures as much prayer talk as humanly possible before shifting the...
down. He felt like he needed to kind of grow up.
Okay, I'm going to turn on the closed captioning here. There we go.
You know, become a husband, become a father. Did you guys ever discuss possibly getting married or anything?
When we were dating, we did.
Okay, so at this point, asking for these types of details, the detective is trying to establish stream of consciousness and try to actually figure out the baseline.
Okay.
Once we broke up,
notice how gentle he sounds, even though like he's entirely disgusted by her.
He brought it up. He actually proposed to me.
Oh, he actually proposed to me. The little TE parent, FI child achievement, the one achievement in her life. And then all of a sudden she found herself moved to sex only category, wishing so badly that she could get back to commitment category. But her moving just down the street from him definitely sealed that deal.
A lot of times, but he wasn't serious.
Let's move to after the breakup.
Oh, okay.
What kept you in Mesa at that point?
I actually moved to Mesa a few weeks after we broke up.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a time period you really wasn't seeing anybody, and then Mimi came into the picture.
Good old Mimi, who I suspect might be an ISFP, but I don't know sure yet.
What did you think about her?
I didn't know a lot about her. She seems like a really nice girl.
T.I. critic.
We had a picture on Facebook, you know. I don't think she had a lot of pictures on there.
She didn't have a lot of pictures on there. A little vainglory coming out there. She's got some vainglory there, so she's definitely unconscious focused.
Said that he's not sure why, but he's pretty sure that she could be it.
She could be it. Oh my God. Don't you just love how the Mormon church just absolutely conditions men into monogamy? Isn't that so amazing?
And I was happy for him. I didn't find out about Lisa.
This conversation you had face to face with him?
Yeah. I was in his room. And he had his laptop, you know, just on his bed.
Jody is desperately trying to make it appear as though her and Travis were on good terms. But this is just Travis himself.
And I truly believe he does love her still.
Oh, he does.
Travis had a...
outward flattery. She continues to flatter Mimi and Travis, basically. Outward flattery is indicative of subconscious developed. So this is a subconscious developed, unconscious focused INTJ woman, okay? Which is a clone of my ex, Andy. Woohoo.
He's what you call a player. You know what that means.
Yeah.
No, he's not a player. He's just... He handled his sexual strategy properly. Oh my God. Like, let's label men players. No, players are the ones who have unmanaged polygyny who pump and dump women. He did not pump and dump this woman. He did lead with commitment, and then she messed it up. That's different.
He kind of pulls girls in. He was reluctant to make a...
doesn't intend to hurt anyone, though. So, like, okay, so it's flattery.
A commitment, first off. And truly, he...
okay, so folks, when it comes to like Wayfair women have this problem where they don't exactly fall in love with the man. They fall in love with the idea of the man, or the belief of the man, basically. And sometimes when they're unconscious focused, they're motivated to commit murder because the man eventually goes outside of the ideal, right? Goes outside of the ideal that they are. And because he goes outside of the ideal and he's deviated from the ideal, then they want to kill the man, basically, so that they can preserve the memory of the ideal he used to be to them, basically. And that's the main motivator behind especially an INTJ SDUF woman who kills her ex-boyfriend, basically.
He didn't think that you were marriage material. And I don't know why not.
She is not marriage material, that's for sure. This girl is sex only category, and that's where she belongs forever.
I mean, I see you. You're a wonderful girl. You're struggling. You're trying to make your way through life. And I don't see why you guys couldn't have made it.
We have very different philosophies in a lot of ways. We would argue about the dumbest things, and like there were so many times where I just couldn't wrap my mind around what he would. I could, but I would try to get him to do the same for me. Like there was a time when I broke down on the way to LA once, and my car got a flat tire, so I had at the time roadside assistance because my car was still under warranty, and they went to take the car in and change the tire and realized that when they sold me the car, they didn't give me the wheel lock key. And I was kind of hungry. It was dinner time. It was 7:38, and it was dark because it was January. And the tow truck guy said, you know, there's a Denny's two blocks down here, and there's a Jack in the Box there, and he was driving me to the motel. I said, is there an IHOP around? Because I really like IHOP. He's like, yeah, but it's kind of like 5 miles back in the other direction. I was like, okay. He's like, I can drive you there if you want. And I was like, he's like this short Mexican guy, and he seemed really harmless, and I was like, okay. And he, you know, and I asked him about his life, and he had a wife and kids, and so he wasn't flirting.
The travels of Jody and the sweet Mexican continues on for another 2 minutes. The detective then brings Jody's attention to what he already believes was the trigger motive for the murder.
So, you know, moving over to...
Oh, the trigger motive, which obviously is him getting with Mimi, which they already slightly discussed. Mimi, the suspected ISFP.
His trip to Cancun that he was going to. When did you first find out about that?
Okay, that he was going with Mimi instead of her for the Cancun trip.
He was going with Mimi.
Oh, I found out about that at his memorial services on Monday. It was the Monday night memorial service. Okay.
You didn't know he was taking Mimi?
I didn't know that. I think that's awesome, actually.
He had called him a week or two before, and I told him, look, if you want to take somebody else, it's fine, but I have something to tell you. I don't look at you that way. Mm-hmm. I don't look at you as a boyfriend. If you want to be friends, we can be friends.
Oh, getting friend-zoned.
Detective essentially stated that Travis was friend-zoned by Mimi, but he still invited her instead of Jody anyway.
What
owned
kept you to him? I don't understand.
Well, moving is expensive, for one. So once I was there, I was kind of stuck there.
But why do you continue to go back to him? You know what he wants. You know that it's not healthy. But yet you continue to go back. And
I hero attachment, that's why.
Brings us to this point where we are now.
Part of my perspective now has to do with the fact that I'm going through a repentance process that I've worked out with, you know, with my bishop. And he's given me, you know, certain...
2 minutes going into detail with the fact...
Everybody, there were some people... Because nobody really knew about it.
Well...
There were some people who I talked to and said, yeah, they continued to have a relationship even after they broke up. And there are others who are saying that you had become obsessive with him.
What? No. Introverted wayfarer women never get overly obsessive. Oh, that never happens. No, if I hero. No, if I child. Absolutely they do. They are the most obsessive. They absolutely are the most obsessive. And it can go this far. Like when they get very, very high obsession, you know, like with an unconscious focused approach, like I said, they fall in love with the ideal of the man. And then when he's no longer fits that ideal, they want to kill him in order to preserve the ideal. That's basically what's psychologically going on in these women when it happens.
To the point to where you would, going to his house when he wasn't there or when you weren't invited, and he would talk to people saying, you know, she just kind of showed up and I don't want to tell her to leave, but you know, I don't want her here.
Oh, that must have been early on because there were a couple times when we established a rule early on, just don't come over unless... He said, you can come over anytime, but I need to know first.
The detective then starts ramping up the pressure and brings Jody's alibi and road trip into the discussion.
Was it the week of the first week of June? You took a trip to Salt Lake City. Which route did you take from there?
I was...
Okay, so that's to see Ryan Burns. We haven't even seen him yet.
Supposed to get...
No idea what type he is.
On the 15th. And go all the way up.
Uh-huh.
And I somehow got off the 15.
Where did you end up?
For a while I was lost, and I'm not above sleeping in the car, so I slept for a while.
Okay.
I'm a heavy sleeper and I sleep a lot, so...
But you were on the 15 for a while, mm-hmm. And you ended up getting off the 15 somewhere.
Yeah, I
That is something interesting about SDUF, like INTJs, men and women, they have a tendency to either sleep way too little or way too much.
Looked at the map, but I'm pretty sure.
Which I find fascinating.
Sure, I know where I went.
Compared to the rest of them, where they all just have sleeping problems.
I went. Can I draw you a map?
Sure. So this trip took you a little over 48 hours. So. Mm-hmm. I have a problem with this trip.
Well, okay. I went first too.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I know you went down here. I've gone over this trip over and over in my mind and on paper. And even if there's still 20 some odd hours, even if you pulled over to sleep a couple of times.
Oh, did I tell you that I got stranded?
Yeah.
Okay.
You mentioned that. If you slept for 10 hours,
I only slept for
here and here, it would still leave 18 some odd hours for something else. Okay. This is what people are focusing on, is this trip that you took. Because they're saying she left, she didn't get to till Thursday. Wednesday? That's when Travis was killed.
Oh, she knows that she's completely and totally owned. She's in her shadow right now. It's all concentration. It's ENTP shadow. TI critic is there. And like, boom, this is where everything just starts to fall apart.
I did not go near his house. Isn't there, aren't there?
I pulled your cell records. Your cell phone was turned off between here and here.
Well, I didn't turn it off physically, but it died.
And then it magically, you found your charger here?
It was under the, packed under the seat of the passenger side. And it was when I was...
When you were lost, you couldn't have maybe pulled over and found it? Or...
Well, I did finally start looking when I was stranded. I wouldn't have pulled over when I was lost.
Detective Flores explains to Jody multiple times over how the trip understand the confronted. Son.
About that trip?
I honestly got lost. It's...
Oh, TI critic is out again.
It's bad timing.
Were you at Travis's house on Wednesday?
Absolutely.
No, okay.
Absolutely not. I was nowhere near Mesa. I was nowhere near Phoenix. I wasn't even close to him.
What if I could show you proof you were there?
Ooh.
What if
I could show you proof you were there, T.I., any...
I wasn't there.
You can be honest with me, Jody.
Can you be honest with me?
I was not at Travis's house.
T.I. critic, again.
Was not.
ENTP. Shadow.
You were at Travis's house. You guys had a sexual encounter. Which, there's pictures. I know you know there's pictures, because I have them. I will show them to you. Okay?
Yeah, but that would also elicit an emotional response.
So?
Which plays into the favor of the interrogator, actually. This is something that you could really use to nail introverted Wayfarer criminals, especially females, to the wall, showing them emotionally charged totems to elicit response, to somewhat break their baseline in the interrogation routine.
What I'm asking you is for you to be honest with me. I know you were there.
Are you sure those pictures aren't from another time?
Positive. Remember I told you about the camera?
Mm-hmm.
The card's intact. Remember I told you that card was destroyed? I didn't want to tell you the truth.
Yeah, because interrogators and police can legally lie to you, but you cannot legally lie to them.
And I have pictures of you in Travis's bedroom with Travis. Pictures of him. And it's obvious you guys are having sex. Taking photos of each other. And they're dated and time-stamped on the day he died.
Are you sure it's me? I mean, that, because I was not there.
It's you. And you know it's you.
And you know it's you. Yo, yeah, T.E. Demon is out.
I...
Detectives actually thinking demon.
I know all the details of this case.
I know all the details of this case, T.I. Inferior. Of course, to say knowing all the details, that T.I. Inferior pride that comes out.
I don't know is why. Why did you choose to go visit Travis that day? And why
did... And why did you kill him for being disloyal to you?
Did you do what you did?
Come on, S.E. Critic. It's very easy. S.E. Inferior was hurt.
Why did you? Travis.
You did.
I would never hurt Travis. That is extremely key, folks. This is an example of the introverted wayfarer who's fallen in love with the belief more so than the actual human being, the belief of the human being. I would never hurt Travis, which basically translates to I would never hurt my idealized, in my mind's version of Travis. What I killed was something else.
You hurt him. That's why we're here. That's why I flew up here. Because I needed to talk to you about this. I can just arrest you and throw you in jail, but I want to know why. Why did you do this to him?
I wouldn't hurt Travis. He's done so much for me.
Oh, yes.
I know you took pictures of him in the shower just before he died.
I don't think he would allow that.
Mm-hmm. And the camera actually took a couple of photos by accident. During the time that he was being killed.
Really?
Yeah, Jody, really. You were there.
Yeah, Jody, you were there.
Quit playing the
S.E. Critics
game. It's time for you to just come out and
I didn't
tell
know.
Me.
I did not hurt Travis.
I did not hurt my idealized version of Travis in my head. Welcome to FI Optimistic Delusion, folks.
I wouldn't do that to him.
The detective then goes on to explain the DNA evidence collected at the crime scene, which is bloody pump.
I pumped
blood on the wall, and you touched the blood.
Could my palm print have already been there and touched it?
Jody, this is over. This is absolutely over. You need to tell me the truth.
Listen, the truth is I did not hurt Travis.
If you want, I can show you.
All right, ENTP Shadow is just completely out at this point.
See some pictures of him. Do you want to see pictures?
Oh, are we going to see ISFJ Demon?
Of him?
Part of me doesn't.
Do you want to see pictures of
him? Part of me doesn't.
Why, because you don't want to remember?
No, I
Jody.
Just... There's a morbid curiosity.
Jody.
Yeah, morbid curiosity.
Wanted to know how he died.
We can keep playing these games over and over again. I'm not going to believe you.
T.E. Demons.
It's over.
Could it have been my blood from
Your
before?
Your image is not important right now.
Your image is not important right now. S-E-T-E. Oh, look at that. Look at that T.E. Demon and that S.E. Critic calling her S.E. and T.E. out.
Saving the rest of your life is...
Listen, if I'm found guilty, I don't have a life. I'm not guilty.
Oh, T.I. Critic.
I didn't hurt Travis. If I hurt Travis, if I killed Travis, I would beg for the death penalty. It just...
Oh my god. Look at that.
Seems so impossible. I want to see it. I want to know. I mean, I'm not a murderer, but I guess if I were to do that, I would wear gloves or, you know, something. Okay, let's say for a second that I did.
All right, here we go. ENTP abstraction from ENTP Shadow.
And I say, I did it.
Let's say I did do it.
I mean...
The motive is there. Jealousy issue.
Oh, jealousy? What? Unconscious focused women leaning into jealousy? Yeah, they do lean into jealousy. That's the problem.
But I wouldn't even say it was jealous. I mean...
Oh my God. She kind of actually informatively confessed. Unless she's still like in her little hypothetical scenario, La La Land, which, my goodness.
There may have been some jealousy.
This ESFJ has the patience of a saint. It's so funny.
I think if anyone, maybe Travis was jealous, but...
That's not what everybody else says. I can prove you were there. I can prove it. But what I don't have is I don't have answers on why it happened. Or, you know, maybe something just got out of hand.
Okay, so at this point, ESFP subconscious is like, well, I'm not going to give you that because that's all I have left, basically.
Maybe things got out of hand.
Did you find the gun? Maybe that would...
Joey.
Murder. Weapons were never recovered. And they didn't even know it was a gun. And he never mentioned that it was a gun. Oh my God, that's one of the classic INTJ blunders with ENTP Shadow trying to lie. Oh my God, she's so pathetic. She's actually pathetic.
We're just playing games here. I'm gonna take a little break, but I need you to think about what you're doing here. Because the best thing for you to do is to tell me the truth. It's so important that you tell me why this occurred, what was going through your mind, and what caused you to do this. I'll let you think about that.
All right, we get a little break.
I'm looking for some pictures, and I'll bring them over, and we'll continue this discussion. Okay, let me go find them. I'll be right back.
Tibbs, I'm not a murderer.
And he left.
Photos, and I want to be careful not showing you certain photos.
Please,
because some of them
me.
Are very
here today. He would tell you that if it wasn't me.
No.
Yeah, it's just the narcissism that leads to psychosis, right? Where it's just like, oh, I'm so important, I'm such an important person, and like all of a sudden life is just completely different when you realize that you're no longer the chosen one, girl. You're no longer the chosen one. And because of that, well, that's a problem. It's a huge problem.
My job is to speak for Travis right now. And everything Travis is telling me is that Jody did this to me.
Oh, the fact that he said that was a huge blow to her, ego there, because she's been the speaker for Travis the whole time, basically. But now he's like, no, I'm the speaker for Travis.
Remember him?
Yeah.
Yep. Jody is then shown one of the pictures that was taken by accident while she was in the...
It's your foot, Jody. These are your pants. No, it's off color because we had to enhance it and the color kind of changes a little bit. That's Travis. I didn't recognize Travis, he'd been there so long. Do you have any recent cuts that are healing?
Well, my cat scratches me. Little things.
She still is holding on to the delusion. And I hero imagining that it can will itself through.
These are all her work. You can see. This is her. That's her. I've got scars.
There's no doubt in my mind that you were there. There's no doubt in my mind that you did this. None. I believe you. I want to know why.
There's no reason why.
Solid case against you. And I, as it is now, I don't know why she did it. Or I can present it to the judge with your explanation.
If I'm found guilty, what happens?
Okay, now it's like, what happens to me? Like, what do I get out of it? This is ESFP subconscious now. What do I get out of it?
You'll have to pay the price.
Well, what's the price?
I don't know.
Don't you know what the sentences are? The sentences that are carried for something?
It depends.
What's the outcome in iHero?
On your situation, how old you are, you show remorse or not. I don't see any remorse. I'm through it right now. There's no... It already happened.
Yeah, there is no remorse. That ISFJ demon feels entirely justified for what it did.
You know, if I did that, I'd be fully ready to face the consequences. Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't.
Oh my God, she's such a loser. Anyone who really understands the Ten Commandments is they would never say thou shalt not kill, because that's BS.
I did not take his life.
This happened. I will not accept any other excuses. I will just move on with my investigation. And we can just let that judge and the jury find.
Would that help me at all?
I mean, you can't use them in court, but...
Well, then there's no point in taking it.
Then there's no point in taking it, T.I. Critic and iHero.
Took a knife to him and couldn't stop.
The rage. S.I. Demon rage.
Couldn't stop.
No self-discipline.
And before you knew it was all over. And then you panicked. And then you...
I've never been angry, that angry at him. Not enough for that. I've been so far angrier at other people, at other...
Then tell me, who could have done this? Who did this?
I don't know, but if I go to trial for this, and if I'm convicted for this, whoever did this is going to be sitting very pretty somewhere. Glad that it wasn't them.
And it's my job to make sure that an innocent person does not go to jail. But I don't see an innocent person sitting in front of me.
He introduced the gospel to me.
Everybody says it.
I don't know why anyone...
So don't tell me that you're not capable.
Okay, everybody says this. Don't tell me you're not capable.
I don't even... And I love...
Okay. And now she's doing like, oh, I'm such a good person. I look like a good person with my FI child. Look at my FI child. It's so childish and it's so good. I'm such a good person. Let me list out these things
love,
for you.
Love animals. And we had this dog. His name was Doggy Boy. And my parents, until this dog that they have now, have never been able to, and I don't mean just them, we as a family have never been able to care for a dog properly as far as give it attention and take it for walks and be consistent.
To save you the oncoming ramble about Doggy Boy the dog, she lightly tapped him with her foot for tearing open the trash, and she's felt so bad ever since that it changed her entire worldview on the animal kingdom.
Oh yes, such bullshit.
She now a puppy murder.
And I need to apologize for that to him. I know it sounds weird, my relationship with animals, it's kind of like they're like...
But you just refuse.
Listen.
Yeah, I can't help you anymore if you're not gonna help yourself.
You asked me
I really can't. I can't, Jody.
It's fascinating to observe how fast she can switch from one emotion to the next once she realizes a particular strategy.
Okay, yeah, once she realizes a particular strategy. This is classic introverted intuition hero with extroverted thinking parent with extroverted feeling trickster, okay? Very classic. Almost sociopathic. But here's the thing about extroverted feeling tricksters. They're so easily labeled sociopaths by society by default anyway, which is a form of psychological prejudice, you know, so like it is a thing.
that she hasn't worked. The attempt at elevating her character by expressing how much she cares for spiders and pets hasn't seemed to have any effect on the detective, so she then switches her disposition from sorrowful to analytical, as she once more tries to manipulate his perception of...
It's not if to me.
I wouldn't...
It's not if. It's not if at all.
Well, to me it is. I would be more than remorseful.
Yeah.
So maybe...
Tend to write everything down. And he said,
Oh, this is definitely reality. We are sitting here inside of an office.
Using delusion as a defense. Even she can't even claim insanity either.
The sheriff's department. Then you are facing first degree murder charges.
What is the difference?
First degree.
You are going to be booked into jail, and eventually you will be brought back to Arizona. And once you realize that, I think you'll be better for it.
My ex-boyfriends, they're all still alive. Oh my god. What a statement.
I've been doing this a long time. And there's one thing that I can never get out of my head. Ever since the first day I talked to you. There's an old saying that, you know, someone's just not acting right. Look into it. You have not acted right from day one. You're just not acting right, Jody.
And of course, an ESFJ would know who's acting right and who isn't better than anyone. They're really good at being detectives, as much as INTPs are fascinatingly, in my opinion, better.
You're acting like somebody who's guilty.
How so?
How so, Effie Trickster?
You tell me,
Essie Critic.
I know, because I've been doing it a long time. It's taken me a long time to figure it out.
SI parent.
But within the first 30 seconds to a minute of a conversation, I know when somebody's acting right. There's a certain way people act.
How did I act? Okay. It's not like you think.
It's not like TV. It's not anything like that. It's not what you see in the movies.
Is it?
Because of that.
What is it? I mean, I'm not going to change how I act.
Give me your playbook, please. The SE users are always that way. Give me your playbook.
No, obviously you can't change the way you're acting.
Well, how is it? You're just
not telling the truth.
How is it different?
Well, it's not really something you need to focus on anymore.
After Jody failed her attempts to extract inside knowledge on the best way to behave in order to appear...
Yes. Extract inside knowledge on the best way to behave in order to appear...
You're innocent.
Innocent. Yeah, that's literally what she was doing. Okay, narrator, glad to see that you caught up.
She then attempts to explain why she hasn't been able to appear innocent.
It's not that I'm not remorseful that he died. The reason I hesitate is...
Oh, here we go. Is this SE Inferior talking, or is this SI Demon talking?
Because maybe this is something that's wrong with me psychologically, is I think of the butterfly effect. And it's like...
Alright, she's going all systematic.
You could say that the guy pumping gas down at the gas station could have potentially, because you see all these movies, these funky movies, where it's like this affected this, which affected this, which affected this, if he had never done this.
I know, if you had never met him.
Consequences.
And he'd probably still be alive.
That's true.
Yeah, but that's because you killed him.
That's because you killed him.
No, I just can't admit to something that I didn't do. If it would help my case and get me...
Again, it's that I didn't do because I didn't murder the idealized form of him in my head, but I did murder the other real him.
An easier sentence? I know people plead guilty for those things.
No, and I don't want you to do that.
Oh, a plea bargain. No.
That is...
She literally requested a plea bargain.
It's the absolute last thing I want.
I wish that I had answers. I'm sorry. There's just no reason.
T.E. Trickster from the ISFJ Demon talking.
There's no good reason why this happened. There's never a good reason why somebody dies like this.
This seems to be the moment Jody fully confronts the reality of her situation. The end is
this was Travis stabbed.
Oh, because she doesn't know.
More than I want to remember.
Oh, and she cracks.
I think you're feeling the reality.
Travis's family is gonna... There's just no reason I would ever...
Just cold. It's so cold. But without the truth, I can't paint another picture. And if I met him, and you don't want him painting that picture.
I can't admit to doing something that I haven't. Can you give me a rundown?
She still hasn't let go yet.
Like, just today, for example.
You'll be
reveal how shallow I am.
Oh yeah, she's shallow. Just like every INTJ SDUF is.
But before they book me, can I clean myself up a little bit?
You're gonna be taken the way you are. I can't give you anything else.
Do I have
to be taken the way you are?
To go in handcuffs everywhere?
Mm-hmm.
It's just procedure.
Whether you wrote a bad check or you're facing murder charges, you're gonna go in handcuffs.
All right, so this is the first moment she has privacy after she's facing reality and realizes she can't escape.
You should have at least done your makeup, Jody, gosh.
Oh my God, look at how shallow that is. So SDUF for an INTJ.
I didn't hear you breathe. I wonder how am I still here? And I can't breathe. I didn't hear you breathe.
Looking for something useful? Or trying to figure out what freedom she has in such a crazy room? Coming up with narratives using NI Hero, looking into her own future, coming up with narratives on what to say about Travis to destroy his reputation, likely in front of the courtroom or in trial. Not unlike what Amber Heard did to Johnny Depp, given that this woman is a clone of Amber Heard, right down to the octagram. This is what Amber Heard would look like if she murdered Johnny Depp.
Jody was then taken to the county jail and charged with the murder of Travis Alexander. She stayed there overnight, and it would be a total of 16 hours before she was taken back to the Siskiyou County Sheriff's Office. Her second interrogation commenced at approximately 9:30 a.m.
She's an orange.
Just remember in the winter.
If you want to go ahead and stand up for me, as I take these cuffs off, just go ahead and put your hands down at the waist, okay?
All right, so this might be an ENFJ woman.
The game plan for this second interrogation will be a lot more strategic. Investigators will have studied the footage the day prior and will now have a greater understanding of Jody's personality. The initial tactlessly reincarnated knight will be broken. This is core will then give of dinner, which is Blaney times X edges of the bed. This give-in's purpose of The voice recorder isn't actually for the purpose of recording the conversation. It is a prop to reinforce the perception of Detective Blaney being the enemy, and not to be trusted, forcing the idea that he...
July 16th, and my name is Detective Rachel Blaney, and I'm here with Jodi Arias. Is that how you say your last name? Arias. Okay, I'm sorry. This is just formality, and this is, you know, if I have to, you know, write up a report of what we talked about, at least I know word for word, you know, what you said, and there's no mistakes. Mm-hmm. Okay. The reason that I wanted to talk with you this morning...
Make him legally lie.
There's a couple of reasons, actually. Let me say this. It's obvious to me that, you know, you're not our typical suspect. You know, you come from a good home, a good family. Your parents...
Typical subset, yeah.
Hmm. Parents obviously care about you. That was evident, you know, when they talked to him yesterday. And you're a bright girl. Probably more intelligent than you were letting on yesterday. And there's no question in my mind or any of the other investigators' mind that you were the person that took Travis's life, you know,
okay,
and give you the opportunity to do. Blooded, cold-hearted. Are you somebody that got caught up in circumstances and things got out of control? When this hits the news, and it will, it'll go to the media, that cold-blooded, cold... Show the families that you do.
So, the strategy... Okay, so this investigator, this is an ENFJ woman. She's also got expert thinking demon. And she is basically attacking Jodi exactly where it hurts the most, which is her reputation. Reputation is everything to Jodi. So, based on that, Jodi is making decisions. You know, she's coming up with narratives right now to get ready for that. But, like, the detective is just destroying and saying, hey, you're going to be painted out to be look like this cold-blooded killer, etc. Even though we think you're a sweet girl, so why don't you tell us why you did it? What was your motive, basically? And trying to determine whether or not it really is first-degree murder or if it was a crime of passion, which is second-degree murder, etc., or, you know, like, the different degrees of murder. And they're kind of manipulating her into admitting murder one, basically, is what the interrogators are trying to do here.
I do have some remorse, but when you continue...
Oftentimes, detectives or police will utilize the object of remorse as a way of trying to get them to at least admit to premeditation for murder one.
You to deny when it's obvious that's not the case. You appear to be the cold-blooded killer, and things are going to start moving real fast. You know, we want to take control because you're the only one that knows that.
Fantastic tone she manages to superimpose over straight facts is gripping to witness.
Some sort of something that you were hoping for. Was he leading you down that path? You know, did he take...
No, he was not leading her down that path. She was trying to attempt to lead him down that path.
Take advantage of you? Were there promises made that were broken? Did he betray your trust in some way? I don't know. Only you know that. This is not going to go away anytime soon for you, Jodi. You know, you're a young woman. You should be fighting for yourself right now. It's going to destroy you.
...that paint her in a positive light. Officer Blaney makes it very clear that she has far less patience than Officer Flores with the end of the murder.
As much as I love Travis, I just have always... There's something inside that says he's not the guy you're going to marry.
So then what was it?
Oh my gosh, now she starts to paint Travis in a very negative way, even though the previous interrogation was very positive.
What was it that led up to all of this? I mean, there's got to be something.
Okay, what is it that led up to all this? A very dangerous question, because if she answers that question, she's looking at murder one.
I honestly don't believe that, you know, that you're cold-hearted and you would just go and just, you know, kill somebody on a whim. That doesn't fit your profile. So what was it that led up to that? You know, you tell me. You tell them. You tell, you know, Travis's family. I'm just trying to fill in the holes there, you know, and just kind of guessing about the emotions. You know, what was it that would make you, you know, so angry or upset?
Reality, she all of a sudden has nothing to say. They have to sit there in their life.
You know, it's probably not best. You know, take a minute just to think.
Oh, if I child and I hero is not getting its way.
She at this moment was being observed by both Detective Blaney and Detective Flores in another room, and they even contemplated having Detective Flores enter at this moment. They ultimately decided against it, however, and Detective Blaney re-enters the room to maximize this state of dejection. The pressure will now be increased to a considerable degree.
Maybe I did have a wrong picture of you. You know...
Yeah, as a child.
All of this time that you and I have been talking, and I got information from your other interview. You are talking about insignificant things at this point. You're talking about money, you're talking about material things, you're talking about everything. You're talking about everything, but you only respond to my questions.
If I murdered Travis, I would be very remorseful.
You know, maybe I was wrong. Maybe you are that.
She said remorseful. So basically, she just basically informatively admitted it there.
Cold-blooded person that they're trying to portray.
But doing an attack on her reputation as cold-blooded or not is a very great tactic to use on this INTJ.
And, you know, I'm just really confused. Help yourself. Maybe you're not as intelligent as I thought you were.
Oh, TI critics slammed it with TE demon.
Maybe I was wrong. I don't know what else to do for you here, Jody. I'm kind of at the end of beyond what happened. I'm hearing somebody that's worried about money, your appearance, everything about...
Oh, I'm you're obviously just shallow and you don't care.
About you. I don't hear...
The shallow INTJ SDUF.
Anything about Travis unless you're specifically asked. How do you think...
I don't hear anything about Travis unless you're specifically asked. Oh, yes. And I hero.
That looks...
How does that look, TE parent?
Listen.
Listen.
I don't care so much.
No, you listen.
No, you listen, TE demons, get out.
You are not grasping the reality here, Jody. You are acting like the person that I portrayed, the ugly, cold-blooded murderer.
Every time Jody breaks down, the detective immediately focuses on Travis's family. She makes it abundantly clear that she has absolutely no sympathy for the suspect, despite her best efforts.
I know Travis's family is struggling with why you, of why. Within them, Jody.
All right, let's see. She hasn't said anything yet. Well, getting closer to a confession, it looks like. Fascinating.
I understand that you're very glaringly just going to be able to help.
More. The detective as in the assault.
Angry at Travis.
Oh.
Everyone keeps saying whoever did this was so angry.
Then what were you?
Then what were you? Oh, tell us why you did it.
Were you jealous?
No, the J word. Gotta love that response using the J word. Pro tip, men, careful with unconscious focused women.
Was he expecting you to come over that day?
Pride and vanity are two different things. Vanity is closer to materialism. Pride is thinking of yourself more highly than you want to.
So was it a surprise that you actually showed up?
Jody prepares to set off on another tangent about photography, but gets aided as a means.
I was already weird about that.
Well.
Okay, tangenting.
For the family, I'm jerked. Something for the dance and
skipping all this crap.
I don't know what it is. It's figure out how you can save your own skin inside yourself. Has something, and across the street.
She's looking for a miracle, and she ain't gonna find it, and the detective just threatened to throw her back into the slam.
And if how they talk to Detective Flores as opposed to me, you know, you could.
I kind of do want to talk to him because he has been in contact with their with Travis's family.
Yeah, and I'm sure that we'll go see if he. Yeah.
Old man told me that you wanted to talk to me.
Alright, so the ESFJ is back in play.
You're doing okay?
Thank you, but it doesn't matter. What matters is how his family is doing.
I told you yesterday I've been doing this for a long time, and you're absolutely right. You know, the person's family who was hurt, they're obviously hurting. But there's a second family that hurts as well. And in this case, it's your family.
The objective of good cop, bad cop seems to have worked. A higher level of trust and rapport seems to now be established. Jody pours out her emotion as the detective offers a sympathetic and understanding tone. But then something very interesting happens. Once she composes herself, she for some reason requests to see the photos of Travis, depraved satisfaction from seeing them. Yet going off how the, or at least
for this reason, I think it might give me really deserved closure.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I hero always wants closure.
Didn't you want to know about the before it happened?
Is there anything?
I can't do that. We had a difficult time identifying who he was. That's why I don't want to show you.
Given the silent treatment anytime he poses an incriminating question, Jody knows exactly what she can and can't say with respect to her own preservation. Her internal self is far more calculated than the naive exterior.
Oh, yes, yep. T.I. critic.
Interior she continuously portrays.
So why were you there that day? Please tell me. Did you just miss it?
Did we finally get the confession?
Should I be looking for somebody else?
I'm gonna get kicked out soon. Come on, confess already.
Is there
anybody
else with you besides you and Travis?
Allows for extended periods of is desperately.
Yeah. Just trying to figure it out. ENTP Shadow.
From here on out, and I gave you a confession.
Oh, what's in it for me if I give you a confession?
It just speeds up the process. Why did you throw the camera in the washing machine? We found blood in the downstairs bathroom where somebody had tried to wash their hands.
Oh, rough.
There's blood on the outside of the washing machine. There's little things that give us clues to what you were doing afterward. Everybody says he just leaves his doors open when he's home. Trusts everybody.
Yeah, typical ENTP thing, trusting everybody.
Have you ever seen the movie The Secret?
Gross.
But he.
The night I was here, right? Because Salinas is agricultural and there are a lot of fields, and I used to find out eating there. The reason I got a gun, I went to the store several times to see what. One, it was cheap.
Shower. The detective seizes the moment to catch Jody off guard. He subtly poses a highly incriminating question in a jokingly manner.
He was very private about the shower.
Is that why you were taking pictures of him in the shower?
No. No.
She doesn't deny she was there, only that.
Oh, yeah, she doesn't. Completely took advantage of that. Yeah, because she was on her tangent baseline, and he had to bring her back to real baseline and crushed him.
She wasn't taking the pictures for that particular reason. She doesn't refute what is essentially an accusation, only a part of the context within it. This seems to be the moment where Jody realizes the holes in her story are beyond repair. That's to garner the.
Did you plan on doing that the whole time?
Owned. Here we go.
don't believe you planned it. Jody. Please.
I can't.
Why not? Did someone catch you there? Someone not expecting you to be there?
Probably. Huh. Interesting.
I want to see my car.
Oh, gosh. Keep getting calls.
Then who was it?
One second. I have to tell somebody to stop calling me. Actually find it. All right, let's see here. Okay, there we go. Yeah, just plead the fifth. They can't.
Listen, I can tell you.
Oh, confession time. Come on. Come on.
I'll tell you everything that I know or that I remember.
Okay. What do you remember?
Oh my God.
Is there any way I can see those pictures?
No, not right now.
Can I see them soon? I will.
You need to start letting me know what happened. Okay. You're telling me that some other people were there.
He was kneeling down in the shower. I don't remember him.
Kneeling down in the shower.
If this is his shower and the sink is over here, I was like right here taking pictures. And I don't really know what happened after that exactly, except I think he was shot.
Where were you?
If this is his shower, I'm just sitting here. I was like, if this is his shower, I'm just sitting here.
Okay, now we're getting a reenactment, although she's claiming there's a third party present, which there isn't.
I was like right here on my knees in his bathtub. I was right here, and I was taking him here, and I was just going through the pictures, and I heard this loud ring. Travis was screaming. There were two people there, and...
Okay, now there's two people here. Bold-faced lie.
I remember... He was, like, on his knees like this, doing something like this, or something like... I don't know. Like, go get help, go get help. And I...
Go get help.
I said, okay. Two, you couldn't tell that at first, but I could just see one was a girl, and I assumed the other was a guy, because they're...
Trying to blame somebody. Here we go.
Build.
Okay. Well, listen to this. ENTP Shadow just spin its web.
And then their voices. Travis was screaming the whole time. Like, shocked. Like, you know. I took it out like a little bitch. I ran. He was still, like, conscious and still alive. And
you just left him there?
No, I ran into the closet. And he stopped me and like, you don't go anywhere. And he told the other girl to finish it. I didn't see. He told me to stay there and not to move.
And where was that, in the closet?
Okay, so this is... possibly like an actual memory of something that did happen to her, but she's just weaving it into the situation, which is very typical of ENTP shadow lying. ENTPs follow two rules with lying, and that is the best lies are the ones that you can make come true, or you mix truth in with the lies so no one can tell the difference. And this is her attempting to do the second one. She's inserting likely some past memories of her to make this more realistic.
No, it was
She describes that the mail stopped her from leaving, and then goes into detail about how her phone wasn't charged and how she forgot her phone charger. She then describes how she valiantly tried to save Travis from the female attacker.
She was over him, and I just rushed her and I pushed.
So, another thing of psychosis, she could also be actually talking about one of the sides of her mind. Because remember, she's in love with the idealized version of Travis instead of the actual true version of Travis.
Sure.
In the next moment, she will state that the assailant comes back when she never went anywhere to begin with.
He wasn't gonna get him. She came back. He was starting to just get weaker and weaker. And she said that they...
Would have been fascinating if the guy that she ran away with in Utah or whatever, was somehow magically involved, even though he wasn't.
They needed to, do me too, because I was there. And he's like, no, that's not why we're here.
From what you're telling me, she was the aggressive one and he was the more passive.
I don't know what you define aggression by, but like, I was... There was a
aggressive one versus
definitely a stern. Yeah, but he didn't
talk.
The detective
he couldn't talk.
takes her back to the moment she tried to save Travis from the female attacker.
So I wasn't sure. I just knew I had to hold on.
Yeah, whatever, F.I. child. You totally murdered your boyfriend. Shut up.
Under her hands.
Oh, it's just like, it's almost like dissociative identity disorder at this point. Or at least trying to make it look like she has dissociative identity disorder, which may actually be an attempt to build a foundation for an insanity plea. That could also be a possibility here.
She had a knife.
What hand did she have it in?
She had it in this hand, but a little...
Left-handed, huh?
Her right, I guess. So.
Her right.
She has put herself in scene of crime, yes.
I just said, come on. You know, he was naked, but I didn't care. Just come on. And he's like, I can't. I said, come on. He's like, I can't feel my legs.
Jody had obviously seen a lot of bad movies. Bear in mind, this conversation she had with Travis was supposedly happening as she was simultaneously fighting off a knife-wielding attacker. She glosses over the struggle, and she somehow ends up outside the bathroom. The two assailed whether
intense, like, you need...
Yeah, welcome to narcissistic personality disorder with an FI optimistic.
Shut up. It's not over here. Things like that.
The male assailant then takes Jody's registration out of her wallet and looks at her address.
He said...
Good times.
Ever.
Oh, then they'll kill your whole family or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And somehow she made it out.
Say anything about this. He said they'll do... To my family.
Oh,
same way.
Yeah, whatever.
And I didn't care so much about me at that point.
I didn't care so much about me at that point, yet you drove all the way to Utah and have sex with some random dude. Great.
He said, you need to leave.
Yeah, you need to leave. Apparently it's the four sides of the mind, as the voices in her head telling her what she should do, even the fact that she just murdered her boyfriend, or ex-boyfriend, or whoever. As she did say earlier, you know, her other exes are still alive.
And don't you call anybody? And don't you say anything? He's all, I'm giving you one chance. And she said she's gonna rat us off.
She then leaves in her car. She, of course, doesn't mention the fact that she then left Travis a voicemail to give herself an...
Yeah, the voicemail to give herself an alibi, which she did. Which most people would consider like a masterstroke, I mean, of manipulation. But that's just typical ENTP shadow manipulation.
I'm freaked out of my mind.
Okay. I don't believe you.
Clone of Amber Heard. Don't believe you.
I came in here hoping that you would tell me the truth. And this is not the truth, Jody.
This is all I know.
This does not make any sense.
What's that paper there, I wonder?
I feel responsible because I feel that I could have done more. I feel that I should have gotten help.
Yep.
I feel that I should have been stronger.
You feel responsible because you did this.
You did not.
Joni, you did. You did. And there's nothing you can say that'll change my mind at this point. This is an elaborate story which does not make any sense.
An elaborate story which does not make any sense.
I've done this for a long time. And this is the most far-fetched story I've ever heard.
I just don't want my family to get hurt.
Just refuse to tell me why. Maybe because you are cold and calculated. You haven't found any.
What is my motive?
Jealousy, anger, fear. If you're being alone, angry at him for not keeping you in his life. I don't know. That's why I'm trying to figure it out. There are so many motives with you. Too many
motives. Oh, any child telling the NI hero jigs up.
For a further 8 minutes without being asked, the detective then ends the interrogation.
One was male, one was female. They were taller than me. Not by a whole lot.
She still won't let go. My delusions.
Are you ready to go back?
Yeah, I guess I'd still like to say something to his family, but I don't think I have anything that could bring them comfortable.
No, because you killed their son.
Maybe I could write them a letter.
Even as the detective is leaving the room, Jody attempts to add further credibility to the new narrative and gives more details of the two attacks.
Okay, I just don't want to
read the truth.
Yeah, she keeps adding more. Oh, now she's alone again. See how she acts afterwards. She doesn't realize that she's being recorded.
Detective Blaney comes back with a pen and paper 3 minutes later. She was curious to see what Jody would write to Travis's family. It ended up being a self-serving and whimsical paragraph about how sorry she was that she couldn't save Travis. The family were never given the letter. She's sandwiched before she eats any of it, and as you've probably guessed by now, continues to behave in a rather unusual manner.
What is her obsession with the trash can?
Okay. I guess that's really all I needed. Sorry.
Okay. Good times. Now the news report.
Don't roll the tape yet.
Why was he a good traveling companion?
Oh, he was a great traveling companion for many reasons.
Oh my gosh, S-U-F-I-N-T-J.
Traveling with Travis was kind of like traveling with your own personal comedian or serenader.
Jody not only stuck with her story about the assassination squad, she doubled down and agreed to every media request that came her way. She also stuck with the soft-spoken, sweet-natured, Jesus-loving character.
Oh, it's all about the camera. Smile for the camera, folks. You know, I can repair my reputation. Don't worry, I got this. I'm Amber Heard, you know.
That wouldn't hurt spiders, let alone human beings. But she once again fails to realize this fake disposition doesn't match the situation whatsoever. If you were sitting in a squalid jail, wrongfully accused of murder, and as a result facing life in prison or even the death penalty, you wouldn't be acting like this. She's trying to come across as the innocent girl next door, but she just looks like a terrifying lunatic.
She is a terrifying lunatic, that's for sure.
He was stabbed some 27 times and shot once in the left cheek. Who could have done this to him? I don't know.
Who do you think killed him?
I have no idea.
Jody, you're pretty calm sitting here. How are you managing to stay so calm?
Through my faith. And through...
No, through my faith. S-I... Oh my gosh, S-I demon.
The knowledge of my own innocence. That's the only thing. I would be shaking in my boots right now if I had to answer to God for such a heinous crime.
Jody Arias killed Travis Alexander. There is no question about it.
Good times.
This is Jody's defense team, and what you just saw was the very beginning of their opening statement on the first day of her trial. The date is January 2nd, 2013, exactly 4 years, 6 months, and 2 days after Travis was murdered.
The million-dollar question is what would have forced her to do it?
They must have figured the assassination story wouldn't go down well with a jury, especially when confronted with the many steps Jody took to get away with the murder. So the narrative has now changed for a third time, and the defense have to come up with a plausible explanation for Jody's trail of deception. The hole she had dug herself into was exceptionally deep.
Really, really big hole. But, you know, that's the thing about introverted wayfarers, especially INTJs. They can't just get out of it, like, so easily.
Always tell the truth about what happened that night. She was scared. Scared about what had happened and scared about what she had done. She had absolutely no experience with police interrogation before.
You don't say.
And so when they talked to her, she wasn't always truthful.
Look at how ENTP-ish she looks right now.
Her fear and her panic about what had happened.
Oh, fear and panic is my justification for lying to the police about the fact that I murdered my ex-boyfriend. Wahoo.
Led her to tell different stories. Throughout this trial, you will learn more about Jody Arias.
Although not everyone in Travis's family were devout Mormons, all of them were close. He in particular had a very strong relationship with his sister Tanisha. And as you can probably tell, a picture can say 1,000 words.
Much more about Jody.
Oh yeah.
Very talented artist. Awful day. In order to answer that question, we have to go.
Victim and Travis as the calculated villain.
Being a Temple member and an executive director of Prepaid Legal, outward appearances would be very important to Travis. And so while he continued this facade of being a good and virginal Mormon man, he was inwardly dealing with his own sexual issues.
Oh my gosh, horrible.
And in Jody,
this is where they trash the dead's name.
In Jody, he found somebody who was easily sexual relationship.
That he would fly into these sudden rages for almost no reason, and that Jody was terrified of him. They end their statement with
which is not something that happens. Like, ENTPs don't do that. So that's how you know that's BS, like, instantly. Like, if you understand Jungian analytical psychology, it's just be like, yeah, no, that's crap.
Jody's latest account of how Travis was killed, which is now a case of justifiable self-defense. The attorney gets to the moment Jody was taking pictures of Travis.
And as that camera was falling, that was enough for Travis. Because he lunged at Jody in anger, knocking her to the ground in the bathroom where there was...
Okay, yeah, but there's no evidence of that.
It was a struggle.
There was no evidence of a struggle on her.
Jody's life, in just Travis's body, he's clearly injured already. And it is not the result of premeditation. In that 1 minute, none of them chosen to defend herself.
Case of who done it.
And then there's the prosecution.
The person who done it, the person who committed this killing, sits in court today. It's the defendant, Jody Ann Arias. And the person that, a former boyfriend of hers, an individual that...
Okay, I'm going with maybe like INFP with this particular attorney.
She was in love with. An individual that was a good man. An individual that was one of the greatest blessings in her life. Victor Alexander by sticking a knife in his chest. And you know, he was a good man according to her. And with regard to being a good man, well, she slit his throat as a reward for being a good man.
Oh, yeah.
And in terms of these blessings, she took the knife and began to stab him when he was in that defenseless sitting position.
This is very important to take note of. The prosecution just referred to this, the last photograph of Travis alive. Their argument is that Jody either asked him to sit down or at least waited for him to sit down before she began her attack. She knew Travis had to be in a disadvantaged position before she commenced her assault, and the prosecution's argument is that it was at this moment when Travis received a stab wound to protect himself.
Yeah, that's pretty much calculated for an iHero.
And a slot outside his bathroom reinforces the argument that his throat was cut after the stabbings. And a coroner's report, which will be revealed in more detail later on, concludes that Travis was in all likelihood shot in the head last. Jody's version, on the other hand, has to be that Travis was shot first. The reason for this will also be explained later on.
And began.
Yeah, and they go through all the different narratives. one by one. Anyway, folks, you basically have it right then and there that this Jody lady, this INTJ SDUF is like seriously straight up like cold-blooded killer. Like, holy smokes. You gotta watch out big time, you know. So, but anyway, y'all, thank you all for watching and listening. Like and subscribe, and I'll see you guys on the next true crime analysis that we're doing. Later.